LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, here we go, everyone. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us, only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James, FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. And this week, Reverend Art and I will be revisiting the discussion from the February 25th, 2024 Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour and diving further into unusual figural candles and more with Candle Magic Continued. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome everyone to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, your Monday night hangout. And if it's Monday, that means it's Magic Mondays on Hoodoo Psychic's Facebook page. Take a moment, jump on over to Facebook, find the Magic Mondays post on Hoodoo Psychic's, and drop a comment for your chance to win a free 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. A lot of great readers out there just waiting to provide some insights and answers. Magic Mondays, Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page. Don't miss out. All right. So here we are back again for another fun episode. Reverend James and I holding down the fort tonight, doing a little bit of a continuation on a previous discussion that was started on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Reverend James was the guest that evening on, what was it, February 25th, 2024, with Unusual Figural Candles. They had some great discussion that night, so we're going to dig back in and take that a little bit further tonight. But before we get moving, what's new with you, Reverend James?
Not a too terrible whole lot. We've had some strange weather here recently with really cold days and then pouring rain and then little bitty tiny showers that get stuck in the valley and you think they're only going to be here for like 5 minutes and then they're here for like a couple hours. Other than that, I've been recently gifted a what's called a Tibetan tiger rug, and it's now made its way and found a home inside my shrine room. It's used during various rituals and meditation to help show fearlessness. And some people may know the story about where the Buddha came across a hungry lion or tiger, depending on who you talk to, and he offered himself up to it, which is why it's also part of used during the Chud ritual, which is the cutting of our ego. So that's kind of neat. They're usually very, very, very expensive, and I had one gifted to me, so I was very fortunate.
And it is a very cool rug. You're not joking about this weather recently. I have no idea what's going on, but you know, some days you look outside and it's absolutely gorgeous, and then we've had other days recently that you kind of wonder if you need to start building an ark, even though we live halfway up a mountainside. It's definitely been kind of wild. You know, actually, it's been fairly steady around the folk conjure and folk faith ministries camps recently. Not a whole lot going on outside of, the typical filling orders and helping others. But I realized something today that's coming into tonight's show. Not sure if you realize this, Reverend James. Tonight is our 50th show.
No, I did not know that.
You know, we've had a wonderful, wonderful array of guests join us thus far over the past plus. I want to take a moment to recognize them for, their contributions, the information that they've shared with everybody over the course of this time. We're very fortunate to have had so many, wonderful workers, wonderful readers, and, just all around fantastic folks join us, right from the get-go, and are actually joined by our first ever guest in the chat tonight. JD Hoodoo is hanging out with us, and JD has been a regular guest here on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. Definitely, if you get a chance, take a moment, jump on out to hoodoohousedetroit.com and check out everything that JD has to offer. We've had Miss Beth from Southwestern Ohio join us from solarmoonsisters.com. Fantastic discussions on shadow work, using tarot for shadow work and building spiritual communities. Deb Voith, can't say enough about Deb. Absolutely fantastic person. Love every episode that we've been able to share with her. If you get a moment, check out Deb at Bewitching Bee. That's BEWITCHINGBEE.com. Reverend Roy, fantastic friend, just an immense wealth of knowledge and, an all around fantastic guy. Been a regular guest here with us out of Nashville, Tennessee. If you get a moment, check him out at healingamulet.com. Our friend Clifford Lowe from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, working on his astrological talismans and bringing astrological magic back to the world. Check him out at clifflowe.com. So many adjectives come to mind when I'm thinking about our next regular guest here on the show, Papa G. Such a fun guy, no pun intended considering his most recent book, Candle Magic, but you can't hold a match to Papa G on so many levels. If you haven't had an opportunity to check him out and check his website out. Go on out to Folk Magic Studio, also on Facebook, and it's Aroma G's Botanica in Nashville, Tennessee, is where you can find Reverend Roy and Papa G, typically there 7 days a week and however many days of the year that they're open. Miss Heidi Holton, HeidiHolton.com, absolutely wonderful reader. You know, she has...
Who is now also in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, we lost her from the mountains, and she moved to Nashville, joining up with... You can actually find her typically Monday nights at Aroma G's Botanica in Nashville, providing tea leaf readings and such. Great reader, great worker. If you're in that neighborhood, stop by, say hi when she's at Aroma G's, or check out HeidiHolton.com, find out when her next shows are going to be, and go show her some support. We miss you, Heidi, if you're listening. Brother Christopher, who joined us for several shows, you know, over the course of the past year, almost year and a half, absolutely love Brother Christopher. He brings such an insight into the mystical arts and, you know, readings. And so actually joined us for Reading Palooza, the last Reading Palooza last quarter. Give him a look. Check out runeworker.com, also on Facebook and Instagram, at runeworker. You know, you won't be disappointed.
And R-U-N-E, rune.
Yes, R-U-N-E-W-O-R-K-E-R.com. One of my favorite gentlemen, too, John St. Germain. He, you know, current president of the AISC, the Association of Independent Spiritualist Churches, and one of our co-members in the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. You know, I'm kind of at a loss a little bit on what to say about John. He's just a wonderful guy. He's been a reader and root worker for so many years. Fantastic products, fantastic readings, so many insights. Check him out at John, J-O-N, Saint Germain, G-E-R-M-A-I-N.com. You know, one of our more favorite, or not favorite, more favorite, our more lively guests, the indomitable Doc Murphy. Absolutely love Doc Murphy. She has brought so many really intense and fun topics to the show. If you haven't had a chance to check out her Facebook pages, or not Facebook, her website, take a moment, jump on over to rootdocmurphy.com. And formerly of Aroma G's Botanica in Nashville, Tennessee, and now residing in the windy city of Chicago, Miss Nikki Jean. The show that Miss Nikki Jean brought to us on ancestor veneration to date is, you know, it's one of those diamond in the rough sort of episodes where just the information that she shared, the insights that she shared, the techniques, the tricks, you know, it's absolutely worth listening to. Check it out in the archives if you missed it, and don't miss out on Miss Nikki Jean for readings and root work as well. You can find her at Ms. M-S Nikki N-I-K-K-I Jean J-E-A-N.com. You know, one of our fellow North Carolinians and an all-around wonderful, wonderful person, Miss Elle Duvall, joined us a couple of times. We did some plant magic discussions and joined us for Reading Palooza as well, along with JD. You know, Elle is so much fun, and she has such an engaging and electric spirit. I could gush about her and all of our guests, actually, for the entire hour and a half, but I will refrain. I will try to restrain But check out Miss L. Duvall at workingwithspirits.com. Another one of our favorite guests, Miss Elvira Love, has joined us. You know, Elvira and Deb Voith joined forces and resurrected the Lucky Mojo Radio Company show, the Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. They air now Thursday nights, if I'm correct, Reverend James. Such a wonderful soul, and the amount of insight that she can provide just blows me away every day. You can find her at Elvira.com. That's Elvira with a Y.com. Oh, so many folks here. Miss Lady M, who joined us also from Aroma G's Botanica in Nashville. You know, you can find her at Aroma G's typically at least 5 days a week. Or can reach out to her through the Aroma G's websites and Facebook pages. Their website is aromags.com. But her episode on, you know, trusting your instincts and really building that instinctual connection to spirit and going with your gut, foundational work, foundational information that everybody really should revisit if you haven't listened to that show already. That was the wonderful Lady M. And we're also joined, you know, by Miss Velvet Capone, who, along with Doc Murphy, is a member of CAMP, the Pagan Archive in the, well, based out of Paganistan. I love saying Paganistan. You know, the cultural archive of modern paganism, or CAMP, is a wonderful endeavor. If you have not gone out to follow their Facebook page, definitely take a moment, jump on over there and check it out. Really putting a lot of work in to, you know, record and preserve all aspects of paganism. So if anybody that's listening, you know, if you have some information to share, to add to that archive, go on. You can catch up with Velvet at paganarchive.org. You know, we had on our last reading palooza, we had a great guest reader join us, Miss Mama Cole. She is the proprietor of the Druzy Tavern, Crystals and Metaphysical, not out of Nashville, out of Memphis, Tennessee. You know, you can find her on Facebook at Druzy Tavern. A lot of great product that she does provide. If you're looking for some very unique crystals, she scours the globe trying to find the absolute best to share with everyone. She also does readings, and you can find her, like I said, on Facebook at Druzy Tavern, or you can also find her calendar to book with her if you'd like at calendly.com. That's calendly.com/Druzy Tavern. And last but on this list, but definitely not least, is someone who is no stranger to everyone who's listening now and everyone who's with us in the chat, Miss Catherine Ironwood, who I have to say, as a mentor and a friend, I struggle for words to describe just how wonderful Miss Cat is. You can find her at luckymojo.com. You can find her on Hoodoo Psychics. You can find her on Sunday nights, Eastern Time, afternoons, Pacific Time, on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Just
at the forum at forum.luckymojo.com.
Yes, definitely. You know, it's been an honor to have had the opportunity to work alongside Miss Cat, and to be able to call her a friend. And
oh, and she has a Patreon out, so go check out her Patreon. She puts out stuff all the time, and you can get a sneak peek before everybody else does. For pages at Your Weight and Fate, and that's weight WAITE, not weight as in WEIGHT.
Yeah, maybe we can get you to drop a link into the chat for everybody too. But you know, Miss Cat has been such a light in my life since I've had the opportunity to know her. Really can't say enough. And there's one person I would be very, very remiss to not thank for 50 lively and well-run episodes of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, as well as the architect behind FolkConjure.com, Folk Faith Ministries, and, as everyone knows, my husband, Reverend James, who's been my co-pilot through the whole craziness of blog talk radio gremlins and everything else. What can I say, James? I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and can't think of a better co-pilot.
Aw, well, thanks.
So much love to you.
Thank you for all your ideas and stuff that you put out there, because you're the mastermind with the ideas. However, you have forgotten one person on your list tonight.
Oh?
Somebody overseas.
Oh, yes. And I do apologize. Our good friend Balkan Diviner, who is consistently supportive of not only Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, but also of Reverend James and myself, as well as the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, Hoodoo Psychics, and everything else under the umbrella. Balkan Diviner, we love you. We definitely need you to get a website so that I didn't miss you on my list. And we will share that out just as well. You know, I did put a big list in our chat of all of the websites where you can reach everyone that is, you know, these are the folks that have built Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with us. And I just want to say thank you to everyone. And that
you could say that these are the Mystics and Mages of Mystics and Mages.
Yes, we could. But, you know, we couldn't have done this without everyone in and week out. We love you, and we look forward to working with each and every one of you as we move forward. And some new faces are going to be joining the lineup. We'll be very excited to be sharing some new, fresh angles and discussions in upcoming weeks. So stay tuned. I don't know if that counts as a pun. I know Phyllis Margaret Gabor is calling out the puns are why I'm here. And there's no shortage of them on this show. But again, thank you to everyone and all of our guests, all of our fans, all of our listeners, all of our friends. And here's to the next 50 episodes. But I think with that, why don't we take a moment? We're going to pause. We'll take some messages from our sponsors. And then Reverend James and I will jump back in with some more discussions on unusual figural candles and candle magic continued. Stay tuned.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Now, granted I have everything correct, here are some quick announcements about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. Tuesday, May 7th on the Crystal Silence League and syndication will be the topic of Spirit Guides Part 2. And Tuesday, May 7th on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix LeFay will be the topic of The Goddess Aphrodite. And Wednesday, May 8th on The Now You Know Show in syndication with Professor Porterfield will be the topic of The Devil and the Devil's Bit. As in the herb. I apologize. And Thursday, May 9th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Deborah Voith will be the topic of Gaia, primordial goddess of earth and life. And next Sunday, May 12th at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman will be JD on the topic of Hoodoo folklorists. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit Hoodoo Psychics. com, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. And while we were getting our announcements, I did take a few moments and drop some links in our chat to the Facebook pages and Instagram pages that I do have for connections for all of our guests to this point. So if you are on Facebook or on Instagram, jump on out, give them a like, and tell them Reverend Art sent you. I'm sure they'll appreciate that. I also did want to call out two additional guests that, while they don't have an online presence, have also been a part of our journey thus far and will be hopefully joining us again. Mr. Trevor Pearson out of Eastern New York, who joined us for Herbology 101. He is outstanding when it comes to herbal knowledge and information. And you can find him on Facebook under the Brotherhood of Male Witches Facebook page. And Ayazani Matthew Vaughn out of Kentucky, you can find him. He's usually a guest at the Tennessee Folk Magic Festival in Nashville, Tennessee, that's hosted by Aroma G's every year. So Ayazani and Trevor, thank you as well. Love you guys too. Yeah, I remember James calling me out for having a few mental blocks this evening. But so Reverend James had brought a very kind of fun topic and interesting topic to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, discussing unusual figural candles. And this is a discussion that, you know, I wanted to kind of build on and expand a little bit further into as well as, you know, jump ever further into the realm of candle magic. There's no shortage of fantastic books out there on candle magic. I have three right here with me now. Papa G's Book of Candle Magic by Gregory Lee White, The Guiding Light to Power and Success by Mikhail Strabo, and The Master Book of Candle Burning by Henry Gamache. Really good foundational books for anyone who is looking to kind
of... Guiding light do you have? Do you have the original, or do you have the one that was updated and edited by the lovely Miss Cat?
This is the original one I grabbed off the shelf.
There's also the wonderful one by Miss Cat. You should go check it out too, everyone.
Maybe maybe Reverend James will be nice enough to share some links to these books in the chat as well. But you know, these are really great books for anyone looking to start, or even if you are a well-practiced candle magician. Everybody knows that candle magic is one of my favorite ways to work. I love my moving candle spells. I love fixed candle spells. I love making candles. You know, it really is one of the more inspirational and kind of hands-on ways that I truly enjoy working. And it lends itself to a lot of creativity, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to continue this discussion, because a lot of folks get so ingrained in process X must be done this way, or it is worthless, or it won't work, or this, that, or the other thing. And one of the points that I'm hoping that everyone will take from our discussion tonight is that really lend your creativity to the working. Lend your creativity. Go with your gut. You know, follow that intuition, follow that inspiration, and really trust in yourself to be able to affect the changes that you're working on to change. You know, Reverend James runs predominantly our candle ministry through Folk Faith Ministries. And if those of you who haven't had the chance to check them out at Folk Faith Ministries, his redesigns of all of our labels finally got published and are out there for everyone to see. You know, a lot of folks kind of discount, I think, a little bit the efficacy of a fixed vigil candle. Would you agree, Reverend James?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure like the Four Altars has gotten and Missionary Independent has received so, as well as myself, so many testimonials in regards to, you know, we burned that candle and the reading that you did, all of it was spot on and it turned out just right. You know, that happens often. I mean, yeah, definitely don't discount a candle, even if it's not just, you know, even if it's not a vigil candle, even if it's just a little 4-inch candle, even if it's a birthday candle. Intention is powerful, but it is not the only thing that comes into play with magic. But the using different elements and things like that, for instance, in this case, you know, fire, for instance, it's also really useful to help get to your goal, to be able to commune with and to be able to, you know, manipulate or sway in your favor these different elemental things.
You know, one of the things that I do want to discuss is probably a question that I get most often when it comes to working with candles. And that really goes into the colors of the candles and what candle to use for what. Because, you know, for just about as many books out there that you will find, you will probably find discrepancies in that list from one book to the next. Does that make one more right than the other? No. Does that lend itself a little bit more to the ability to be creative and working in your working with these candles? Yes. And, you know, I want to kind of share a little bit of a list of some of the colors that really some of their usages. Because if I say, you know, a red candle, what are we going to automatically think about? What do you think, Reverend James? Red candle,
probably
first thing.
Probably love, at least over here in the West.
Right. You know, love, passion, things, you know, things of that nature. Red can also be courage. You know, red is your, if you want to tie in, you know, the energetics of it, red is your root chakra energetics that you're bringing to these works. There's also, as Phyllis Margaret Gamora just mentioned in the chat, you know, red is also the color of Mars. Mars is the god of war. Red can also be used to rain fire down on somebody, if no pun intended, candle magic, no pun intended. There's one for you, Phyllis. If needed in your workings, orange.
And then just like we're doing now, all of these correspondences can go even further. You know, you look at red and Mars, and then you can go into archangels with Archangel Cassiel. So you can keep going with it and expand. That's how we get this gorgeous, beautiful tree of magic.
You know, orange candles. What do we think of with orange?
Definitely, specifically in hoodoo, the first thing that comes to mind is road opening.
You know, a lot of people don't think of orange for strength or success or joy. A lot of people don't tie the orange back to that second chakra.
I would say success is one that it kind of goes to for sure.
Oops, bumped my mute. Sorry. It happens once every show. I always, the mute button will get me. You know, a lot of, when looking at these candles, again, do the colors say to you? You know, there's a lot that you can be opening and a lot that you can be focusing on just based off the color. You know, we look into the yellow. You know, yellow, what do you think there, Reverend James?
I don't know. Honestly, that's another one that kind of goes, for me anyway, road opening. I guess I'd take that back. Orange is a little bit more, orange or red would be more blockbustery, and then yellow would be more road opening to me. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't really attribute it to things like, you know, the solar plexus chakra as far as energetics go. Or it can also be used in clairvoyance. A lot of times, you know, a lot of the synchronicities that you think of when it comes to clairvoyance and psychic abilities, you think purple. Yellow is also a great color that can be used for, you know, advancing clairvoyance. Also communication, not just spirit communication, but communication between individuals. Another great aspect there. You know, moving along, you know, we do have, you know, green. Everybody thinks healing, or everybody thinks prosperity, money, and things of that nature. Green is also healing. Blue, you know, you think of peace and tranquility. Great also for
I used to think of green as healthy, but now I think more blue is health and in that aspect, and green more money focused.
You know, and these color associations are, you know, kind of just in general. You know, we're talking about, for the most part, is where to focus them on. You know, we mentioned purple with spirituality and intuition. Then you get into white. What do you think of with white, Reverend James?
Cleansing, blessing, divine. Those are the first three things that come to mind.
You know, white is also protectionary. And if all else fails and you have no other colored candles, white is also a perfect fallback color to use in any candle working. So don't think you're shorting yourself if you don't have a red candle for love, or you don't have, you know, a green candle for money. You can definitely substitute a white candle. It's kind of, if you think of the spectrum, all the colors come together to make white. White breaks down into all of the colors if you look through a prism. You know, another thing that people don't really ask about color, or don't think about when they bring this up, is, you know, different shades of colors too. You know, shade can make a difference here and there. But if it speaks to you on those colors, use them. Your intuition's guiding you that way. Spirit is guiding you that way. So I wanted to take a moment and touch on the symbolism and the use of color. You know, we've talked about intention in a lot of different shows, especially when it comes to writing your petitions and such for candles. But being intentional with the color when possible that works for you, works with your gut instinct, go for it. JD actually brought up a good point too. You know, green is money, but also Venus, and can be love. You know, these correspondences and everything can come around and they just grow. So don't lock yourself into a mindset that one color means one thing specifically. Any thoughts on color, Reverend James?
No, not right off. You know, I wouldn't just decide, you know, one day and just go, oh, well, I have a pink candle and I want to do a curse, so it's okay. I can just use this pink candle. I wouldn't necessarily do that. Maybe that's just me. But I feel like that's still going to, regardless of whether your intention is to be of cursing or not, but that pink energy, regardless of what you're going to do, is going to impart some change into the work that you're doing. You know, there are colors for a reason. There are different plants for different reasons, and each one of them has their own energetic signature and energy and things like that. So just because you want it to be something that it's not doesn't make it so. That's the only thing that I would say. And that would work in a lot of different aspects.
Very good point. Very good point. But, you know, one thing too that a good follow-up from just talking about the colors and the meanings of the different colors. We get a lot of questions specifically about the use of the figural candles. And Reverend James talked, you know, pretty well on the topic of the figural candles and, you know, some of the more unusual ones that are out there on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. But, you know, I kind of wanted to share some additional insights as we've had some folks that'll go out onto folkconjure.com and look at some of these candles and go, what in the world would I ever use this for? And I want to kind of dive into that a little bit, where the creativity aspect comes into play. One of the candles that is available on Folk Conjure that I think has raised some, probably the most eyebrows since we published it, was it's listed as a bottle. The bottle hand poured figural candle. And it looks like, you know, just your run of the mill kind of wine bottle or soda bottle. And someone asked, you know, why the bottle? So one of the points that I want to make is the figural candles are used as symbols. They are symbols of something else. They bring that energy into the spell work. They bring that energy into that spiritual discussion between you and whatever it is you're trying to affect. You know, when you see something like the bottle, primarily the main use that something like this would have is I've prescribed it for ancestor veneration for those who have in the past had alcohol problems in their lives. You know, maybe it's been themselves, maybe it's somebody in their household, maybe there's somebody, you know, that they want to, you know, that had that difficulty. But, you know, when you have something like an ancestor's altar, you traditionally would give gifts of alcoholic beverages, whether it's whiskey or beer or what have you, something that person or the people on your ancestor altar would appreciate it in life. This gives you the opportunity, kind of like spirit, in the sense of same sense as using spirit money, to provide, you know, the folding cash to the spirit world. And the name is escaping me, Reverend James.
I'm sorry.
This, I don't understand. The spirit money.
It's just ancestor money or hell money or hell bank notes. I mean, there's all kinds of different. It has a lot of different colloquial terms.
There was one that I will remember and just shout it out at some point in time. But much in the same way, you know, you can utilize a candle that's in the shape of a bottle to provide spirits to your spirits without increasing the temptation to yourself or whomever is potentially, you know, in your household that may have had that problem. You know, this is a unique way to use a candle to further your spiritual practice. Another interesting.
Or you could use it as a kind of like a message in a bottle to your ancestors or to deities or something. You could carve out a hole in the bottom of it and put the petition or your prayer or your whatever into it, and you could light it, and as it burns down, it you know, like smoke at the end, whenever it's burning it and everything, it'll lift it up. I'm trying to sit here and think of maybe some other things, depending on how you loaded it. I mean, if you wanted to load it with some negative things and put, you know, somebody's photo in it, you could, quote unquote, you know, blow the top off the bottle, as in like their emotions. You could help incite anger and things like that with it, I would imagine. Got to be creative.
You know, and also that the message in a bottle motif, if you want to continue on with that, utilizing this type of a candle for influential work. A lot of people, they fall back on, I need to have a skull candle, must have a skull candle influencing, skull candle put thoughts into the mind. Message in a bottle. You know what? You've put that out there. You're sending it off to somebody specific. Another great way to use that. And also one of the uses that I've personally been setting up is as a way to symbolically help me to cleanse a bottle spell. You know, a bottle spell is done. I will let the bottle candle burn its way through. And when it burns out, that's the close. Another interesting candle that I wanted to share with folks that, you know, Reverend James and I do a lot of research and study on, you know, folk traditions around the world. And one thing that we always, you know, we see is the, and we've watched many videos on, are the limpias. I wonder how many people actually know what a limpia is. An egg cleansing. And in Facebook groups...
Well, limpia is cleansing, period. So an egg cleansing would be a huevo limpia, if you wanted to be very specific.
And you can tell which one of us is the earth sign. but no, that, you know, a lot of folks, when I am on Facebook, been in so many Facebook groups where individuals will be posting pictures of the egg yolk being the egg contents being broken to the glass and asking for ideas on divination and thoughts of that nature from what people see in the picture. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's very difficult to kind of do a reading on an egg cleansing just from a picture. A lot of people are more comfortable with things like wax reading and such. And we saw these egg candles that literally are the size and shape of an egg that can serve the exact same purpose. Although using the candle that provides you, you know, you do the cleansing, you light the candle, you let it burn its way through. You can read the smoke. You can read the flame. You can read the wax remnants to do those styles of divination. Whereas maybe you're not as strong in the more folk style of doing the readings, but another creative way to use a candle that you might have looked at in, you know, a store. They sell them in the country stores all around, at least that I've seen in Western North Carolina. They're in little baskets of little candle-shaped eggs. And that's the first time I saw them. I'm like, that's what gave me the idea. You know, another creative way of doing candle magic that will lead to results on a much higher level.
What gave me that idea was the if anybody's just familiar with cleansings in general, there's a cleansing that you can do with just a white candle, and you just rub it and or roll it just like you would an egg all over the body, and then burn it. So, I mean, this is just kind of a natural combination between candle cleansing and figural candles with the, you know, idea of Ed Clint.
You know, actually, thank you, Troll T, in the chat shared the page from readersandrewworkers.org, the category cleansing, the in-person cleansing with an egg. For anybody that is curious about this process, definitely check out that link, and you'll get a very good foundational knowledge of it.
That's actually a very good point, Phyllis. Better for vegans too. So, you know, if you still want to be able to quote unquote do a egg cleansing, and if you do it, I applaud you for it, but don't advertise it as an egg cleansing. Advertise it as a candle egg cleansing. You'll do just fine. But I just thought about that, you know, you could do it very similarly to an actual egg reading if you wanted to, just by doing wax reading in water. So you could light the egg and then have it drip the wax into water and then read that, which could be very, could yield some interesting results as well.
See, that creativity is just kind of bouncing off the walls tonight. I don't want to stay too long on the figural candles, but you know, another one that I've been personally very, very fond of, you know, is we have a grenade candle. And it's raised a few eyebrows, because why a grenade? And why is it an orange? Well, you know, we talk about symbolism and using items as a proxy. How many times have you felt stuck being able to move forward? Whether that's, you know, maybe a job hunting, relationship hunting, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's something holding you back. And, you know, you've done the spiritual baths, you've done other workings, and nothing seems to work. You know, what stronger blockbuster type image would you have outside of, you know, your regular orange candles? Make it explosive. Grab that grenade candle, add it to your working, and really light a blockbuster. It's been a very effective tool for myself. And again, using that symbology, that symbolism to really kind of expand on the, what's the traditional methods of, you know, with the candles and the herbs and such, really to kind of take blockbuster to a whole new level. Really,
well,
fun...
and you know, if you think about blockbuster works, you know, a lot of the imagery that comes to mind is dynamite. So if you kind of look at a candle and look at a stick of dynamite, they're quite similar, so it's not really fun to go, oh, I'm going to take this red candle and say it's dynamite, when it's just a red candle.
This is true.
So having something that seems a little bit more explosive in a way, you know, it's kind of hard to have a candle that's a wrecking ball. So I think a grenade is a good natural extension there, and something that's quite modern for a lot of people too. It's easily identifiable and understandable as to what that candle's quote unquote energy is.
You know, a couple others that I'm personally a big fan of, and we can jump into the next segment here. You know, is the use of a treasure chest. And I had first actually seen a treasure chest shaped candle down. It was years ago when I was in Florida, and you know, you go around to the little gift shops and everything. And they had this whole nautical themed display that showed, you know, they had treasure chests, little burnt candles. But on these ones, when you burn them, something, whether it be a trinket, some sort of a ring or such, would come out of it. But I got to thinking about this treasure chest, and when we found the mold for it, could not help but jump in and grab it. You know, unlocking the treasure, opening the treasure chest to these things that you're seeking, kind of along, you know, the lines of a road opener candle spell. You could use them in the form, you know, a green treasure chest to unlock untold riches or, you know, surprise money. A red treasure chest to open to love and bring in the
or to lock
passion.
Lock a love away, to take someone's heart and lock it away so that they can never leave.
See, Reverend James, this is the yin and yang of Reverend Art and Reverend James. Reverend Art says, bring the love. Reverend James says, lock it away. And you know, this is actually why we work very well together. We have a very holistic view of every situation. But, you know, it's one of those things that symbolically, when you open a treasure chest, you know, outside of a few really bad pirate movies, most of the time there's something inside that you really want. So, you know, utilizing, as we if you think back to the colors, you know, unlocking communications, unlocking psychic abilities, you know, color, open that treasure chest and, you know, allow yourself that opportunity to grow and flourish. And last one that I kind of want to call out, and then if Reverend James has any that he's particularly fond of, we'll have him jump in, is the urn figural candle. Another one that's raised a few eyebrows is, you know, what am I supposed to do with this urn? We have it, when you think of urn, you think of, you know, death, which, yes, there you go, right off the bat, can be used as a cursing candle. Cast it in black and let it do its trick. But for
similar
those
to a gravestone candle or something.
True. You know, but for those that are working to try to connect with their ancestors and feeling, you know, that they could use a little bit extra oomph to building that bridge and building that connection, you know, it's a great way to symbolize, you know, the light in the darkness, the light across the veil to draw in those ancestor spirits or whichever spirits of someone who has passed that you'd like to connect with. You know, cast it in purple for, you know, building that psychic bond with your ancestors and your spirits. Cast it in orange to open the roads to spirit communication. So many creative ways to do this. Another one that I've been very fond of and very, very much appreciative of, and I enjoy that one myself.
I like the idea of it being done in black and taking a needle or something and carving along the side of it the ashes of so-and-so for a good cursing candle. That would work really well.
Or it can also be used, you could be, you know, in along those same veins, ashes of gossip, ashes of jealousy, you know, putting...
So for situations, you mean?
Right, putting conditions, situations to rest. You know, it's a whole nother aspect of, you know, candle magic that can be explored, you know, using a little bit with that little bit of creativity. Absolutely love that candle. Are there any that you would like to showcase, Reverend James?
I'm trying to think of any that might, you know, jump out at me at the moment. But the one that really kind of jumps out at me, I guess, it's one of my favorite, especially to pour and to demold and all of that good jazz, is we have one that's a house.
Oh.
And it so perfectly reminds me of like a money house blessing kind of thing, or peaceful home kind of thing. I haven't had a chance to use this particular candle yet in a working, but those are the kind of workings that I do plan to use it with. And it's just so cute. It makes me happy to look at it. And I think it also has something to do with the fact that it's the mold that it's cast in is plastic instead of silicone. The way that the wax goes up against the plastic and creates, whenever it's demolded, it creates this really smooth, shiny sheen on like the roof and the sides of the house that just, I don't know, maybe it's a tourist thing. It just makes me happy.
No, you're right there with it. I mean, casting green, it looks like the house is from the Monopoly game. But you mean you have promoting communication in the home. You have home protection. Phyllis Margaret Gabor calls out, you know, it'd be great for buying a house too. You know,
oh,
everybody's
yeah,
familiar.
Selling. Absolutely.
Exactly. You know, everybody's used to burying the statue of St. Joseph, right? St. Joseph had a moment there in the yard for influencing real estate transactions. This is a whole nother aspect, utilizing candles that hasn't really been explored too much until now. Thank you, Phyllis, for adding that in too. You're not wrong, River James. It is. It's an adorable little house.
See, we got creative people. Our listeners are creative too, buddy.
You know, I have to call out one more candle. I know I said I was done, but I have to call out one more. As we have one, it's just a sphere, more than a sphere. And Reverend James and I stared at this mold and said, what the hell could we use this for? And I think my favorite idea that we kind of tag teamed and came up with was getting rid of the ball and chain. If you take twine, rope of some nature, form it into a chain, attach it to the candle. You can attach it to the wick, have it be an extended wick. You can Or use dress chain. And as the candle burns, breaks the bonds of the ball and chain. You know, absolutely, we kind of cheered ourselves on, patted ourselves a little bit on the back for that one, but absolutely love that. But again, why am I bringing these up? Creativity. When you will see figural candles in stores at Christmas time that you don't see at any other time of the year. Different holidays, especially if you frequent gift shops and things of that nature in your area. Hallmark stores are another good one, actually. You know, I kind of giggled when I saw a statue, a figural candle of, and we saw these at Christmas time, of a nutcracker, because they're called nutcrackers. And I thought to myself, well, if somebody has a gentleman that they'd like to put in their place, this is the candle for them. But you know, you don't be afraid to expand your repertoire when you see these candles, when you see these tools out there. They're there for your use, and they can drastically and dramatically expand your candle magic practices. Especially once you start bringing in the condition oils to dress them with, the herbs to dress them with. You know, I will say unequivocally that every time we are working with candles, We always have a copy of the Hoodoo Urban Root Magic book with us. It is there for, well, I don't think it ever really leaves our sides. We have three copies of it, if that tells you anything. Absolutely amazing information to share on the herbs, to add to the dressings of the candles. Bear with me here. So if you don't have a copy of Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, that's another one that to be in the toolbox. You know, a lot of folks, and we talked about this a little bit with Papa G a few weeks back on when he was on to talk about the Papa G's book of candle magic. You know, when you get into the use of candles and magic, a lot of people really do ignore some of the other options that candles provide in your work. One of the things that I see this a lot, especially in Facebook and Instagram, people posting pictures. Do you see anything in this wax? Do you see anything in this wax? Do you see anything in this wax? And, you know, you'll, for as many pictures as you see, you'll see just as many interpretations of what is quote unquote seen in the wax. But outside of the wax reading, I do want to call out the other forms of readings, divination readings that can be done from your candle magic. And we didn't really get a chance to touch on a lot of these. You know, Reverend James and I, when we burn candles, especially the vigil candles, you know, we'll take a look at a lot of the different aspects. You know, is there a lot of soot on the candle? Is there a lot of the wax?
Did it crack? Did it burn through to the label?
You know, is there residue left along the inside of the container? You know, a lot of different of these aspects denote comes of the reading. But one thing that I personally enjoy is the option, the pyromancy, the reading the flames. And a lot of folks treat candle magic as kind of a set it and forget it sort of form of magic. And I really think and feel that that you're doing your working a disservice if this is kind of your outlook on the process. So much more can be gleaned and developed from these. So let's chat about pyromancy a little bit. You know, watching the flame of the candle as it's burning can definitely provide a lot of insight as to how well it's going to work. Is the flame struggling? Is it struggling to stay alight? Are you needing to splice it to keep it going? You know, is it sparking? Is it flaring? Did the flame split in two? You know, there was a candle burning in our practice, it was about a week ago, and I was sitting here, and that's all I could hear is it popping, pop, 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 as it was going. You know, these are signs of activity in that spell work. You know, is the candle burning quickly? Is the flame burning well? Is it just, is it stand like static and it's just, you know, doing exactly as you would expect it to do? You know, that could be, that's an indication typically of everything's going to go well. You know, is it flaring? Okay, let's touch back to that a little bit. You know, it's working through and powering through different difficulties that are being addressed as it's, as it's doing its work. Low burning candle, it could be a very strong indication that your candle is experiencing some resistance, some opposition, some bit of pushback. It's maybe you need to do some form of a cut and clear, you know, or a removal of some sort on your target before actually progressing with full intention. Is the flame that, now this is a fun one. There's a lot of people that I've talked to over the years. They're like, what, my flame looked like a letter L, like the letter, like the flame completely sat over on its side. And they're like, well, what does that mean? Could be a good indication that somebody or something is interfering with your work. You know, Reverend James mentioned about the popping and the crackling. You know, that's telling you that it's generating conversation. Something's talking. There's a lot of talk going on. You know, it could be a sign of communication. And, you know, whether spirit's trying to communicate with you, whether your target's talking about you, there's some conversation going on there. Another fun aspect of candle magic is getting into reading the smoke. And it has a couple different names.
Isn't that capnomancy?
Yes, capnomancy. That's the one that most people know it by. You know, really watching that smoke and seeing how that the smoke of the candle is interacting. It can give you a lot more insight into what your work is doing. You know, some people, if you can't burn candles per se, you can actually, if you're a fan of, and I kind of lump incense a little bit in with candle magic because it still needs a flame to start, but you can use incense if you can't burn a candle and read the smoke there if you're looking for some divination. But you know, if the smoke is just gently rising, you know, things are going smoothly. Things are going as you would expect. That could be a very positive sign of your working being fairly successful. Smoke circles. These are an interesting thing. It's showing a cycle, you know, a cycle being completed, a cycle, ongoing cycle, you know, something is still perpetuating that is with part of your working. Smoke going sideways, doesn't really matter if it's right, left, et cetera, et cetera. You know, this can be, your working is encountering obstacles. There's a wall, there's something in the way of that smoke just gently rising and ascending to the spiritual world. So taking some time to read through the smoke itself can provide a whole world of additional knowledge. So if you haven't had a chance to really look into those, Papa G actually gives a fantastic breakdown in his book on candle magic, about the different styles of reading outside of just the basic wax reading. Highly recommend it. Anything you'd like to add, Reverend James?
No, I think you're doing fine.
All righty. Oh my gosh, we are down to the last, 7 minutes. No discussion on candle magic, though, would be complete without a brief mention of candle safety. And I do want to take a moment and share that out to always take proper safety measures when burning candles. Failure to follow basic safety steps, it could end up with a fire. You could end up with injuries, and other different hazards. Don't leave a candle burning unattended or near anything flammable unless you have a way to burn it without it causing a problem. Reverend James and I, we have areas outside the home that are specially built just to burn candles without interference. We have huge metal tubs that we put candles in to allow them to do their burn safely, tubs filled with sand at the bottom so that it doesn't, cause a problem, on a surface where it burns through and it hits the metal and heats the metal and then burns the top. So taking those steps are something that has to be a part of any candle magic process. I don't think it really should be needing to be said, but to burn candles, don't burn candles if you're wearing like wispy clothing that might get blown into the flame, and if you have children, if you have pets, definitely keep the candles somewhere where they won't face interference while they're burning. Trim your wicks. One of the biggest things that I've seen cause the most problem for people when they're burning their candles is, some candles, especially when they're handmade, will have just this big ass wick. And people, I'll just light that. Well, you want to trim your wick to a normal size, usually about, about a quarter of an inch. That will not only will that make sure that you don't have any unintended flare-ups, unintended sparking, etc., it will ensure that your candle will burn a lot more evenly and more appropriately. Less smoke, less soot. And one thing that a lot of people think is, extinguishing candles. If something goes wrong, to extinguish a candle with water. Reverend James and I are very fond of keeping flour around where it is that we burn candles. Throwing water on a burning candle that has gotten away from you, if you've never seen videos of, kitchen fires where there's an oil fire or grease fire, same thing. It can become explosive very quickly and spread very much further than what you had ever thought possible. So keep something to extinguish control. Whether it's something, if you have a snuffer, there are fire blankets that can be purchased. Like I said, Reverend James and I, we definitely had a candle go haywire on us. Once filled our whole house with black smoke. We ended up putting that fire out using flour. Baking soda. But it's a way to get that fire to go out without spreading. One thing a lot of people don't know, too, is your candles get hotter when they're nearing the end of the burn. When your candle's getting close to completion, pay some extra attention when that flame is approaching the bottom of the candle. And it can definitely, if it's going to go haywire, it most likely is going to be about that point, especially with the vigil candles. Once it's down in, that flame is so far down in, it becomes almost explosive in and of itself. So having that safety in mind will go a long way. Again, I can't stress the safety of candles in your candle magic practice, or the safety in burning candles in your practice enough. There have been plenty of stories recent of individuals that, you know, they've been friends of friends that have had things go very bad very fast. So I will always be on the cautionary side. Candle magic is great. Candle magic is strong. Candle magic can be amazing.
You did have one question, Reverend Art, in the chat way back at the beginning, and I want to address it before we get ready to go. And that was Phyllis, and she asked, what are your favorite ways to load or dress a candle? And are you an oil, then herbs, or do you melt wax like Miss Cat describes in The Art of Hoodoo Candle Magic? And I'll let you answer that.
I can't believe I missed that. I'm trying to find it.
What are your favorite ways to load and dress a candle?
You know, it really depends on the situation. Depending on what it is that I'm doing, I have in the past done the hollow out the bottom, load it with a petition, load it with herbs, you know, melt the wax, put it back, you know, seal it up, plug it up, and let it go. I predominantly do a lot of dressing, you know, dress it with oil and then have them roll in the herbs or sprinkle the herbs on. That is probably, I'd say, a good 75% of my practice. But
for me, it's real quick. It's herbs, then it's oil, then it's whatever else I want to add, glitter, little bits of little things, little hearts, glitter hearts and things like that or whatnot to help in the reading. And that's pretty much the order that goes in.
And the music started. So that's all the time we have for tonight, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening, as always. Till next time we meet, let's keep that magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you for joining us this week, everyone. We invite you to join us next week when we will have another fine guest. We come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at FolkConjure.com and at FolkConjure on Facebook and Instagram, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.org, and on Hoodoo Psychics. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. The shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. For all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. And be sure to follow at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics, Mages, Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thanks, Reverend James. And now breathe. I hope everybody has a wonderful week. Till we see y'all next Monday, have a blessed week, a week of prosperity, abundance, and joy. Good night.